Hey guys, this is Perry with Premier Guitar here at SIR Sound Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, hanging out with Minus the Bear guys for the very last run.
Yep, this is it.
Man, what a bummer. I mean, I'm glad that you guys can go on and do other things, but it's been a lot of crunchy tunes.
Yeah, it's been a blast. It's been amazing.
Yeah, man. Well, let's get to it. I know you guys are in the middle of rehearsals and you're taking the time to do this. This is great. So this Aerodyne is your number one right now, huh?
Yep, that's it. Got it probably 7 or 8 years ago, and it's been pretty much what I've been using, at least on stage. It just feels good in the hand.
I love the binding. It's so cool.
Yep, yep.
So are you more P, more J? Or are you kind of in between with the pickups? Or
With the pickups, I actually I keep them all hot. And funny enough, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because the last rig rundown that we did, I was reading the comments of folks, and I had made a mention that I leave everything just open because that's just the way I like to play. And there was a commenter, and it was great. And I'm looking at you, commenter. He was like, "Corey's a fucking idiot, man. He doesn't know that, like, if you like dial back just a little bit, you can get this and do that." And I was like,
"And what band do you play?"
I'm on stage. Yeah. This is just the way I'm doing it, man. I mean, great advice.
It's easy to say that from your mom's basement.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's got an opinion.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So I just leave them all up, you know. I don't fuck around too much.
How did you come to own that? It's really, really pretty.
I bought it. I was having some serious back problems. And I heard that it was actually a little bit lighter. And it is considerably. So I really just kind of bought it because of health reasons, because some of these are just so heavy and
they're honking.
And it turns out that it plays like a dream and it sounds awesome. Yep.
So in addition to the Aerodyne, you have a couple of backups as well.
Yep. This is an old P bass that I picked up in New York. One of my old basses got lost in transit on an airline. So I had to buy one last minute, but that's been great. Early 2000s model, pretty just standard P bass. Sounds like bass.
They do that thing.
Yep. And then this is a jazz bass with like these kind of weird P bass, you know, configurations with the jazz. Once again, sounds bitching.
Awesome.
Little Mexican made jazz bass, but it's great.
It works. Yeah. Is one of these for like a different tuning, or are these just straight backups?
No, just backups right now. I've used this a lot on the last couple tours. And then both of them in the studio. And I just keep them just in case.
And I'm guessing they sound pretty similar to the
Aerodyne,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, in the Fender family. And
for sure.
Sounds bitching.
Same pickup setup and stuff.
Yep.
Well, that's easy enough. And then we're going through the Varelin.
Yeah. The Meat Smoke, or as he called it, the Merch Smoke.
Because
my
last
name is
Merchie. Awesome.
I don't ever want to play anything else except Varelin amps. It's good, huh? Yeah. You plug in and it. I always like to say it sounds like bass.
Yeah.
And it's what it does.
And
it does
loud.
The trick.
It's like at least 100 watts too, right? Like,
yeah, it's a 300 watt, I think.
300?
Yeah. It's a beast. This is one of his first ones. I think it's like, yeah, it's in the lower double digits. So, but yeah, great. Seattle, this guy Ben Varelin, who makes him out of Seattle.
Yeah. The little brother of the singer of Botch, right?
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yep.
What a cool family legacy.
Oh, he's just super talented. He's in all sorts of bands, and he owns a bar in Seattle, and I don't know how he has the time to do it, but he builds an amazing product.
He's a busy fella.
Yep.
And so I'm guessing this is a 810?
Yep, old 810. I picked up from a friend, Todd Bell from Hey Mercedes and Braid. I think I've been playing this since 2004. And keeping it in really good condition. I kind of try to baby it, you know, so.
Clearly, the Tolex looks incredible.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a nice patina on it at this point, so.
Have you had to mod any of the basses or the amp or anything like that? It's just pretty stock.
No, replaced a couple speakers. I really don't fuck around with too many mods.
Sure.
You know, and with the Varelin, he just built such a great amp that you don't really have to do too much with it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that takes us to pedals.
That's right.
All right, you don't have a ton on your board, but I am not familiar with this giant Varelin pedal. So is this like a preamp thing, I'm guessing?
Yeah, it's another one that Ben makes. It's a preamp, and then it has a little boost to it, just to kind of treat another tone treater.
Is it like an always on kind of thing?
Yeah, for the most part. It just kind of depends on what the song is, but for most of this set, yeah, it's pretty much on.
while I have you and you got your bass on, let's hear, can we hear the clean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Man, when you said I like the Vreeland because it sounds like bass, it sure does.
It sounds like bass. Yeah, I really, you know, try not to screw around with too many tones. There's so much stuff going on in this band with different tones and pedals and everything that I really just try to play the bass and just try to keep it down on that level. So this just works. It just gives it a little bit of a boost.
Yeah, and then boost isn't too crazy. It's a little hot.
No, it's just, just a little flavor.
And then just volume?
Yep, just a straight volume pedal. And then this Greed Tone is another company out of Seattle. This guy Greg builds those out of his basement. And once again, it's just a little distortion box, but it doesn't take away from the low end and, you know. It's perfect for bass. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're not losing any frequency there.
No, just kind of coloring it a little bit, throwing a little more dirt on it, and but still, here in the bass.
Is it basically like two boosts? What was that second switch?
Yeah, that's just like an overdrive, an extra overdrive.
Really, really cool.
So, yeah.
Powering it all with a pedal power too.
Yep.
Well,
I just try to keep it simple and just let everyone else kind of do their thing. So.
Makes a ton of sense. Well, man, thank you so much for the years of great tunes. Have an awesome last tour, and we're going to talk to the rest of the guys.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, man.
All right, now we're here with Dave Knudsen. We're going to talk about his awesome pedal setup, but first we'll run through some guitars. You've been a PRS guy for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Love PRS guitars. This was the first one that I got right before right as the band started. I got it used. This shop in Seattle, Al's Guitarville. It's been my baby ever since. I don't know. The PRS just works great for me with, like, you know, ease of tapping and ability to, you know, coil taps and lots of different tones. So
speaking of that, how did you get into tapping? Like, is that something that you've always been messing around with? Like, obviously, if you guys don't know, dude was in Botch. The coolest. One of my favorite bands when I was a kid. One of my favorite metal bands. But, you know, that was obviously a technical band as well. So you were onto that early, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, while Botch was going on and afterwards, there was a lot of, you know, great Chicago math rock, like Don Caballero and Storm and Stress, and a lot of just cool bands doing, not, you know, like flashy,
right,
like Eddie Van Halen type
more
solo,
like American
tapping.
Football kind
of
cool.
Exactly. So I guess I was inspired by a lot of those tones, and just, you know, figuring out a way to make cool riffs without, you know, playing the guitar like normal. Hey, here's my A chord, here's my D, here's my E minor.
Like, what else can you do?
Yeah. So it was just more about trying to make my guitar not sound like a guitar.
Gotcha. So with the PRS, is it something like with a scale length or maybe the fret size that is more comfortable for that sort of plan?
Well, just like the action's great, the ability to access all the frets, you know, get up right here. I mean, there's a lot of guitars that have dual cutaways and all that stuff, but I don't know, the PRS is just seemed like it really suited the band, and you know, once it worked, I was like, let's just
definitely works.
It sounds... why change it?
Yeah,
if it's already working.
I get that. And then amp wise, I've seen you guys play in Mesas and a lot of different stuff, but recently I know you've kind of switched it up.
Yeah, I mean, always with a twin. I mean, I love just like this sparkly top end and all the headroom. This is my first time using a Vox on tour. I did have a Lone Star for a while, but I wasn't utilizing it as much, you know, for like the gain and the distortion. Sure. So I felt like going to something that was more.
Imagine you're going for the cleanest, biggest headroom and then doing everything with pedals.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, my pedal board has a lot of gain stages on it, so it's.
I think it looks self-aware.
Yeah.
Okay. So the PRS, the Gold Top was your first.
That was my baby. And now this is kind of my...
Is this your number one?
Yeah, this is number one. I mean, it's funny, like a lot of times when we're recording, I mean, I'll try different guitars and, you know, Gibsons, Fenders, you know, any sort of different guitars. But most of the time I come back to this one, like the last record, probably 90% of it was recorded with this guitar. It's got the sound. It's got these great pickups in it. These, what are they? 58 15s. Apparently they bought the wire machine from Gibson or whatever. So these are like spun with like the, you know, some of like the oldest wire.
Are they voiced like a vintage pickup? Like a
it's more just a straight up humbucker. I mean, I don't know. Pickups aren't my, I'm not the most knowledgeable pickup guy. Jake's more of a pickup nerd than I am. I just know what I love, and so when it sounds great, then.
Do they both have the same pickups?
Yeah.
So I'm sure they react pretty similarly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. This guitar just is nice because it goes up, you know, 2 octaves, 24 frets, so you can get a little bit, you know.
Get up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so strings and gauges, is your gauge like kind of
it's just
the best
46 to 10, you know,
just regular.
This is always in drop D, and this is my E guitar.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, there's no crazy tunings really. It's just
you guys are either in E standard or drop D.
Yeah.
That's totally normal.
It works. I mean, it's great for, you know, fretting a chord down here and adding some.
Have you played around with open tunings, especially with the tapping thing? You might be able to.
You know, I have a little bit, but I've never really written anything. And it's fun to fuck around with. Sorry. It's fun to mess around with, but I don't know. Like, I just feel comfortable like this, and just really easy for me to write.
It's way less confusing too. Like, I've
Having like different guitar changes and stuff would.
All of a sudden, you're like, "What sounds terrible? Oh, it's in the wrong tune."
Yeah. It makes it easier for set flow as well. Yeah. You know, instead of having to, you know, get a different guitar for every song.
Well, two killer guitars, two killer amps.
Yeah.
It's pretty reasonable. Let's dive into this one.
Sure, let's do it.
So your board doesn't look a ton different than the last time we talked. Just a few minor changes.
Yeah, I mean, on the Planet of Ice tour, I did have this extra pedal board that came over here that was like a full-on hog unit, you know, with an expression pedal, and the, you know, the hog enclosure is just so massive.
Big, yeah.
And since this is the farewell tour, a lot of these songs have, you know, these pedals have been the genesis from a lot of those songs. So I've been messing around with that new Helix pedal, which is awesome. And I'll use that moving forward, I think, just because of the versatility and everything. But for playing this set, it's just, you know, important to use.
I'm guessing you guys are playing stuff all the way back from like Highly Refined Pirates into the
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's excited. I really hope to hear some songs from Omni. I love that record.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about how you get some of these noises, because you're kind of an innovator with this sort of sound, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, started off wanting to, you know, just like cut stuff up and sample it, you know, a la, you know, like Fortet or Caribou or some of those, you know, mid-2000 kind of EDM kind of sounds. So
you want to chop and screw it up?
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, there's you know, a lot of times I like doing the
thank you.
just stuff like that. You know, it was fun to mess around with. I mean, the double time and all the reverse things you can do.
It's so fun.
I mean, it's like, you know, endless possibilities. I mean, I just, sometimes I'm in my basement for too long and...
I get that, yeah. I think I need to get another DL4 for my board because that is so much fun.
Yeah, that's no,
so
it's cool. It's pretty great. I mean, and then, you know, I have a lot of gain stages going on. Normally, for the tapping, there's a lot of compression.
Sure.
Just, you know, for like the... You know, like the...
That's gotta help with the keeping it all.
Yeah, keeping it just squished. Especially when you're, you know, fretting a chord down here and playing up top, it's nice to have that sort of everything together.
Squeeze it all together, yeah. For sure.
And then the whammy, you know, used for a few different songs. It's, you know, just basic, you know. I mean, I don't really use it too much with the, it's more of a harmonizing tool for me rather than like
gotcha.
A, you know, crazy Rage Against the Machine style solo action.
Are you, all the stuff that you would have been doing with your hog, is that kind of taking the place of that?
Yeah, it's just as, just easier, and a lot of the songs do have some whammy bits in it, so.
I noticed the last time we talked, you had actually 4 DL4s.
Yep.
But now you have a timeline. Is that, what are you using that for that the DL4 maybe didn't do?
There's so many cool different delays in here. A lot of the new record was written delay-wise with the timeline. I mean, the DL4 has some cool delays as well, but the stereo ambience that you can get out of the timeline is just sick, overwhelmingly awesome.
Yeah, those things are an incredible time waster. Yeah, they're so fun to play with, man. And I love the sparkly DL for the 20th anniversary edition.
Yeah, that, I think they only made like 30 or 40 of them, and they were like, do you want one? And I was like, of course. Like,
oh, yeah. I'm sure you helped them sell quite a few of those,
I promised myself I wouldn't put it on my board and take it on tour, and here it is on my board. I've taken it on tour.
Yeah, I mean, that should kind of be on a shelf or something.
Yeah.
The loop station, are you using that just for longer?
Yeah, just, I really only use it for one song in the set. It's just, it's nice, you know, the DL4s are great, but they don't have any memory, so it's nice to be able to just, you know, have something right there, you know, switch to a different preset.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing about it is that it doesn't re-trigger like the DL4. You know, you can't like, you know, you can't like stutter it.
Like, that is a cool.
So, but for feature. Longer loops that are more simple, like the one I just played, it's perfect.
The
DL4
only does like, what, 14 seconds, I think, right?
Right, yeah. But also just being able to have it, have a pedal that has memory in it is
that's kind of handy,
really helpful.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then this is a little tape on it, so I can't really see it. But
Oh, this is a old, what is this, like a DD5 or something? This is for Five Guitar Band. It's just a, you know, just super reverbed out tone. And then, yeah, the Mini Tube Screamer. Jake and I both have these, and they sound...
And it's dimed. Love that.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, it's pretty, yeah, pretty much it's just... cranked everywhere.
Are you ever using the Box of Rock and the Tube Screamer together? The Box of Rock is more like a boost.
Okay. And then sometimes I do use the fuzz for like a few songs like on Omni, like Secret Country and stuff like that, just to get the really gnarly fuzzed out distorted tone that, you know, the Tube Screamer could replicate it, but it just doesn't have the same guttural.
Right. It's more of a distortion than it is a fuzz anyway.
Right, yeah. It's a little, sometimes this is a little too smooth, so putting this on...
Get a little hair on it.
Yeah, totally. Exactly.
And then what about the Giga Delay? How are you using that?
The Giga Delay is kind of just a legacy pedal for me. I mean, I use it on quite a few songs.
So familiar with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the main sound of Pachuca, you know, the...
Yeah.
it's just been on like so many records that there's no reason to replace it.
It's
you know,
stay for sure.
Yeah, it's got the original studio tone.
Well, man, I think that pretty much covers it. But I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, no problem. Thank
also,
you guys for
have an awesome last tour.
Yeah,
I'm,
can't wait.
I'm heartbroken, but I hope you guys have some time off after this. I'm
sure it'll really it's going to be a fun tour. Yeah. We're all really excited.
Cool. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Last but not least, we have Jake. Jake, how's it going, man?
Good, going well.
Really appreciate you taking the time to do this, especially considering it's your last tour.
Mm-hmm.
Tallmans, let's talk about these. How did you start playing these?
Mike Origo? Origo? I can't pronounce his last name. I should ask him. Mike from Ibanez gave me this guitar a long time ago, and because I basically played Tele or Tele style guitars for a long time as my main thing, and he had this that the LA shop made and thought I'd like it, and it's awesome. Yeah, so
very cool. Do you feel like it is it tonally pretty similar to a Tele? Or
yeah, definitely.
It's pretty Tele setup,
and that's a Rode core, but yeah, it's really good. It's got a really big neck, not like big this way, but it's kind of wide.
Oh, that's kind
of
nice.
But it feels really, really good.
The mini bucker, is that something that you wanted, or that's what they had in there?
That's what they had, and it's like a different thing. I used to play almost exclusively on the neck pickup, and so I liked that aspect of it, but now I don't. So there you go.
That makes sense.
Yeah, change.
And then you got a, like kind of a Strat style one over here. That's super pretty.
This is, the Strat style Tallman. I swapped out the pickups with Righteous Sound pickups and had him make me a Tele style, like metal backed Tele style pickup for the bridge. And what else did I change on it? Oh, I had him paint it this insane kind of salmon color.
I love it. It's like electric salmon or
something. It's good. It changes in different light because it's this color but painted over with that.
Ah,
so
that's very cool. But this one is currently your number one.
Yeah,
this Esquire is style.
This is my main one. And it used to be just a stock made in Japan Tallman, but recently had him sent it back and had him put stamped steel saddles on it and make it into an Esquire with a cocked wah. And
so it's all like an out of phase kind of sound.
Well, it's like that's like a halfway on wah pedal at the neck pickup.
Get your Knopfler on, bro.
Yeah, and the single ply pickup without the hole. So
gotcha.
So it looks kind of classic, but yeah, this is my main one. It's awesome.
Yeah, those are great. I've played a couple of them. I've always really loved them. And you also are on the Vox train now.
Yeah, I've been with Vox for a few years, and that's what I've always wanted to end up with. So I'd been kind of chasing down like a Vox style sound, and then started talking to Brian from Vox and had him, he had me try out this hand-wired, and it's amazing.
You love it.
Yeah, and this is the new S1 AC30, just a single speaker top boost channel, and had a Creamback put in it instead of the stock.
Gotcha.
Vox Celestion.
What do you notice about the Creamback that's different?
It's smoother. It's not as quite as peaky. It's just a little bit more of I don't know. It gives it just more of what I can, like what my brain thinks a Vox sounds like.
Gotcha, yeah.
So.
And I'm guessing you didn't change anything with the hand-wired.
I put a Celestion Blue in it.
Oh.
The Alnico Blue. So it's one green back and one blue.
Oh, that's a fun combo.
Yeah, it's great.
Are you running these like pretty similar setting-wise, or?
This one's a little dirtier, and this one's cleaner. It's just naturally cleaner, for
I
sure.
I wonder if it's the signal path being hand-wired or something.
Yeah, it's hard to get this one to have the grit that I kind of want. So having them both together, this is kind of a clean, chimier sound, and this is more of the little bit slightly grittier, yeah.
And then I'm guessing you're kind of throwing on some dirt with, you got a little mini tube screamer as well.
Yeah, I love that thing. We've always had we've always played Tube Screamers, and then like I got the reissue 808 and really liked it, but then I tried this and I just like it much more.
Have you ever AB'd the mini one to like any of your other ones? Because I'd be curious.
Yeah.
Pretty similar.
I have. I don't know what they did with this pedal. It's just smooth and kind of perfect. I had a BBE Green Screamer for a long time.
Yeah, that was on your board last
which
time.
Which is awesome. Yeah. But it died. And so this kind of gets me to where that thing was.
And it's a lot less real estate on your board, too.
I love it. Yeah, it's great.
Cool. And you also have a couple DL4s.
Yep. I got one dedicated to delay, and then the other one's for samples.
For looping.
Yeah.
Cool. And then an organizer.
Yep.
Let's hear some.
Yeah, let's check it out. So like the basic.
So that's just amp.
Just amp. Well, I got the EP booster on all the time.
Just a little clean boost to jump it.
Just to get some treble on it. It's nice. And then this is the basic overdrive.
Is that the Tube Screamer?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The Soul Food, are you using that more like a clean boost or?
Like I'll use them together.
Ooh, yeah, let's hear that.
Mainly for like. Get more sustain. There's a part in, I'm using it only in one song on this. It's called White Mystery that has this like slow feedbacky thing.
Almost sounds like an Ebo kind of.
Yeah, line. Totally. Yeah. Totally. So that's that guy. And they're both amazing pedals, so I like to use them both. Then the phase, basic small stone. I had a Max, I can't remember what the brand is, but the Phasor, that's like this big old.
Like the it's like a
Mutron. Yeah, Phasor.
Those are huge though.
Huge. Yeah. And like real thick and nice sounding. It was just starting to have some trouble with the knob. Yeah. And so I went simple with the small stone. And the organizer, usually use it with the phase at the same time.
Yeah, that's a super fun modulated effect.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Sure.
And it's kind of replaced my hog as well.
Yeah.
So a little less real estate.
Yeah, I guess it kind of does that a little bit too. A little.
Yeah, just organ sound. This delay is usually on, just a quick slap back. So like.
Oh yeah.
Just to give it some
very
room.
Very subtle, yeah.
And then I use this quite a bit. Well, this is my real clean tone. I had it on the neck pickup selector thing, but. And then there's just a couple parts that I use that kind of.
So cool. So it does decay.
Yeah, it does decay a little bit.
It takes a while. Yeah.
And see, one thing that this guitar, that I like the Esquires with the three position switch, is you got your kind of basic, where you can roll off the tone a little bit and kick it back. And that just is volume, no tone knob.
Oh,
so it gives
just
it a little brighter. And then with that, like clean, it kind of sounds dull and honky, but like with the overdrive, it's gives it a really cool distortion lead kind of sound.
It does, for sure. That's a fun trick.
Yeah, and then the this little dude, I just use for a sampler, like, what is it? So like, just kind of little stuff.
Yeah.
Not nearly as much as Dave does, so just a little fill in.
And then the switcher, do you know who made it? Or?
A loop station.
Gotcha.
I believe.
Well, you're singing as well, so that's got to be really handy.
Yeah, and with the ability, you can bypass all the effects at once and kind of get a few things going.
Quietly.
Quietly, so you're just. and just turn it all on and off, or like if you want to tap out a different thing but have it clean beforehand. So like preset your effects, turn it on and off.
It makes a ton of sense. And then the A-B switcher, your amps are both on.
Yeah, they're both on all the time.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's kind of a new thing for me once I got the single 12.
So is it top basically boost. That switch is just allowing you to send your modulation effects into both amps at the same time?
Yep.
Gotcha. Well, man, I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, pretty basic setup. It's a lot less involved than Dave's, obviously. But yeah, it's just like a little modulation, some delay, and some overdrive.
Covers all the bases.
Keep it tight.
Well, man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the years of Crunchy Tunes, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a huge fan. This is great.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
You guys, thanks for watching. Make sure to subscribe to the magazine if you don't already do that. It's an actual magazine. You can get it sent right to your house. Check out other rig rundowns, review demos, riff rundowns, all that fun stuff. We'll catch you guys soon.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest rig rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new rig rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to premierguitar.com/rig rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new rig rundown is available. Cheers, see you soon.